Talking about this matter of personal work, and it's I'm not sure why we have trouble doing personal work. I know some of the reasons and everything, and so what we're trying to do is to over the in the month of July and August to try to build within us a realization that personal work can be done. And sometimes I think we misunderstand what's involved in personal work. Personal work is not all of the time just in your face saying, can we study the Bible? The personal work comes sometimes from that very, very kind of situation. It just almost the opening remark is personal work. You think about the life of Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No man can do the signs that you do except God is with him. What did Jesus say? Anybody remember? Jesus says, well, thank you. It's great that I want us to list the 62 prophecies that I have fulfilled from the Old Testament already, and the other 300 or other 250 I'm going to fulfill. Jesus' remarks to Nicodemus was what? You ever look at it? Look in John 3. Isn't that amazing? Rabbi, John 3:1 talks about Nicodemus, gives you the details about Jesus. 3:2 says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said, thank you very much. What did he say? Except a man be born again. Isn't that amazing? I think you call that the direct approach. There was years ago, there was a story of a barber, and this is back in the days whenever people used to go to the barbershop to get shaved. Any of you young men even know that they used to shave people at the barbershop? I mean, that you're not young. I'm sorry, Mr. Eric, okay? I was looking at some of these younger men back here. Man, you got and you remember the kind of razor they would use? You know, it was one of those straight razors. And so there was a story, and I think it was likely true that this barber had really gotten stirred about doing personal work. And so he thought, well, the first customer that comes in today, I'm going to talk to him about the Lord. So he lathers him up real good, you know, sharpens that straight razor on that strop that he had there, put it up to the guy's throat and said, sir, have you ever thought about dying? that's called the direct approach, okay? That's not the best way of doing it, but you do have everybody say, but isn't that amazing how Jesus did that? So it's not always wrong to do that. Now sometimes, and we'll talk in this either next week or the next week perhaps about answering questions prematurely. Sometimes, you know, we answer questions too quickly. We don't know where they're coming from, and they for sure may not know where we're coming from with some question they've asked us. And you can do a lot of damage by answering a question prematurely. But are you still in John 3? Look back in chapter 2, the last verses of chapter 2. And I'm not sure how many verses there are in chapter 2, but verse 25 said what? Somebody read that, 25. Who's got it? You got it, Freddie? Yes, he did not need anybody to testify, man, for he knew what was in man. And I'm not always sure that's supernatural. You know, if he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, then for him to be able to just immediately, just miraculously know absolutely everything that is going on, I'm not sure everything is involved in that, but it's obvious that whether it is supernatural or natural, Jesus used an approach that is not wrong for us to use. Now, we mentioned a moment ago the woman at the well. What approach did Jesus use with her? John 4, are you in John? Look in John chapter 4. What's his opening remark in chapter 4? What? Give me a drink. Where's he headed? She doesn't have a clue. She doesn't have a clue what that's all about. Give me a drink. Her response is what? What? Where's your rope and bucket, right? And to modernize that, that's after he says, "I have water to drink that you know not of." What's her opening response? All right, here's her response. "Why on earth are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan." If we sort of talk about friendship evangelism, there's a real lesson that's right here. Do you know any people that are outcasts that nobody else wants to talk to? Yeah, there are a lot of folks that are like that. And so Jesus went against culture and everything that was involved in that. A man talking to a woman, especially a man talking to a Samaritan woman. And then look at the approach that he uses. He does not say to her, "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he'll not enter the kingdom of heaven." There is a teasing that is involved in this. There is an attempt to try to get to whet her interest in these matters. Those are two totally different approaches, right? Absolutely, totally different approaches. Somebody says, "Which one do I use?" Well, I'll tell you exactly which one. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "If you lack wisdom, where do you get it?" That's a question. How am I to know which one of these to use? Any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask God. And God sometimes gives it to some folks. He gives it to all men freely, liberally. Well, I'm not sure which. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? I find it remarkable. And some of you who've done a lot of talking to others about the Lord, isn't it amazing how you feel rather awkward in what you want to say, and then all of a sudden you just open your mouth and it comes out? Chuck, I can't remember any details about some of those things, but some of the conversations you've had with relatives and workmates and everything, just all of a sudden you open your mouth and there it is. Pearl, I remember one that you told me, and you may have thought about it forever, but Pearl said, I was talking to this guy who said, "Well, I've never sinned." And Pearl's answer was, "You just did." that's a great kind of answer that's involved in that. Now, personal work involves you, but it involves a specific person. If you think about personal work and it's generic, you're not likely to ever get involved in it. I'm serious about that. If we're thinking about trying to reach somebody with the gospel, you've got to think about and identify someone specifically that you have in mind. Now, it doesn't have to be a person that you know and have known for a long time. Let me ask you this. Is it easier to talk to a stranger about the Lord than it is to talk to somebody that has been your next door neighbor all these years? Why is that? Why is it that, Brad, when you go on a mission trip, why is it when you got down to Costa Rica, and other than saying in Spanish, anybody here speak English? Why is it? Why is it you can talk to total strangers? Just because it's easier.
There's no relationship to sever.
Great comment, Tracy said. There's no relationships to sever. You know, you don't know whether or not you're going to be rejected, and it doesn't really make that much difference whether you are rejected or not if you stop and think about it. The longer you know someone, you think about, well, it may destroy friendship and the like. If you're thinking about personal work, and that's the kind of thing that we want to do, is to try to look at it and think about
what we can do in relationship to this. And I would urge you, and we may take in sometime in the next seven meetings of this class, we may each of us make out our own list of contacts. Somebody says, I don't believe I know a single person. I just hardly can find anybody to talk to about the Lord. And so we may take time and make that out. Mike, your hand was up first, and his was first. Okay. Oh, you were raising yours to point over to him. All right. I didn't see his, but I saw yours. Okay. Sure. And Dave said he found a common topic. You know, their personal work is trying to find that person and use what is happening there to talk to them, you know, and use that common topic. Chuck, it's your dying relatives. Boy, that's obviously pressure on you. But man, there's your common topic where you start with that. What words do you use? Or what words would you suggest that could lead to somebody having a religious discussion with you? All right, Dave is talking about the preliminary about, you know, where are you from and what kind of work you do and all the rest, and do you know so-and-so? And that's obviously, that's how friendship begins to develop. And that's really, really important. But what's, when you get time to talk about the spiritual side, what words you use? Norm, you had your hand up. And what Norm said, and I'm not sure that all of you could hear, is that when somebody asks you a question, don't answer it by saying, well, here's what I believe about that. Or just not even say, this is what I believe about it, but just to start giving an answer to it. You know, I've been wondering, should a person be sprinkled or immersed? Well, what answer are you going to give? The tendency is, I hope you've got the right answer, the tendency would be to say, well, you know, but think of how much better and how much more focused it gets to say, let me read something to you from the Bible. And then let's see if let's let the Bible answer that question. And now all of a sudden, and seriously, if you want to stop severing friendships, if you hide yourself behind what the Bible says, it's an honoring and respecting and obviously the paying of the compliment. You know, of I know that you're religious, and therefore I believe that you really respect the Bible. Let's read this verse out of the Bible, and you tell me where this is. That's a good point. What would you say? How do you lead to a religious discussion? And there are 75 answers to this, by the way. What did you do this weekend? Okay. What do you do this weekend? Tracy says every Monday, everybody comes into the office. Guess what they ask? What'd you do this weekend? What'd you do this weekend? Well, you could say, wow, man, we went fishing and we caught, you know, a 47-pound wahoo. You know, I don't know what that means. Or you could say, man, let me tell you, the most exciting thing I've ever seen, somebody was baptized at church and the preacher dropped him in the baptistry, you know? Now, if you want to get a religious discussion started, you can get one started right then and there. And I don't mean to make light of that, but that's not all of a sudden you've got the religious topic going and everything. You've got something that's happening there. What else would you say? How do you get over to starting a religious topic? Yes, Dirk? Great point. And that is so that the person early in that relationship, in that conversation, knows that you're a Christian. You know, can you come over Sunday night? No, you know, I've already got plans. Let me tell you what's happening down at church on Sunday night. Man, I wouldn't want to miss that for anything. And now all of a sudden you've whetted an appetite in relationship to that. What else can you say? Brad? Yeah. I mean, Brad, think of how weird your friends think you are. No, but I'm serious about that. It's his life that is different. Now, your friends on Facebook, you are so far removed from them on Facebook. At least you'd better be, you know. But you understand what I'm talking about. It's your life that is out there in relationship to it. And guys, it is not, I'm a Christian, I'm sorry, you're going to hell. It's not that at all. And it's not shining your light and say, well, let me tell you, you know, I'm going to church all the time and you really need to go to church all the time. It's none of that at all. I mean, the Sermon on the Mount takes care of every bit of that. But when you're there for that person and they understand how to do it. I tell you what Miss Pearl's done. I don't know how many times Pearl says, Dan, you're eating at our house Sunday afternoon. And I go over there and she's got 6 or 8 people who love Miss Pearl's cooking. And they can't get out the front door until we've had to. Is that about that right, Pearl? Is that your approach? No, she tells them ahead of time, but you know, we're coming over for lunch. We're going to have a Bible study afterwards. All that is just who we are and where we are and taking it from where we are to where the next one is. And I don't want to rag on Pearl too much, but the prostitutes on Broadway, she's talked to lots of them about their souls. You know, they're there, and we need to be aware of that. That's right. We'll talk some more, Norm, about, hang on to that, and I when we get over to talking about answering questions prematurely, hang on to that. That's really important. We're trying to find out how do you start the conversation. Let's what else can you do? Think of some religious conversation. Yes, Trudy.
You go to church services anywhere.
Yeah. You know, checking Judy into the hospital up there at Jupiter Hospital. This lady that was checking us in, she had all of these spiritual sayings up in front of her computer. And after she'd done all of her paperwork on Judy and everything, I said, man, it's obvious you're a religious person. Let me tell you of the friendliest church in Palm Beach County. You know how easy that was? And I don't know that she will show up. She may be sitting here tonight, but how easy that was just to go from there. Some cute little sayings she had, you know, right above her computers there, kind of things that a lot of people would put in a cubicle where they've got and everything. Wow, that's good, man. I'm glad to see you're spiritually minded. And I said, it's obvious you go to church somewhere. And I said, let me just tell you about the friendliest church. And that's all there was. 2 days later, the next day, or whenever she had surgery, was the next day, I guess, I needed information about something about the hospital. Guess who I went to see? And so I said, oh, by the way, it's the Church of Christ. And just kept writing, you know, after she had the information, I said, I don't know if you remember me or not. Oh, yes. I said, well, it's the Church of Christ. And just kept right on going. Puckett? Yeah, showing an interest in them, and this is really, really important, and that is come and see. Come and I love to read John chapter 1. It's so amazing. That's the way they did personal work. Jesus himself did it later. You know, where are you staying? Come and see. And so it wasn't, okay, let's have a Bible study right here. Come and see. Jeff, you had a comment. Here's one. Just a minute. Here's one. Tell me about your salvation experience. You know, tell me, you know, man, I'm glad that you're... Tell me about you being saved. People want to talk about that. I'm talking about those who are rather religious. They want to talk about that salvation experience. And you can, it's one of the real great conversation starters. Now, when they finish, you'd say, my experience was different. Let me see if I can show you what I did. And then all of a sudden, this is what I did. And the contrast is sometimes really, really different. Norm? Yeah? Interesting. Just sits and reads the Bible and people come and they're interested in him. I forget. I think it's while I was at Shades Mountain before I came here. One of the members there got on the plane and the man was sitting reading the Bible. And Paul said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" What an interesting conversation starter. It wouldn't always work in every situation, but God, give me wisdom to know how to bridge the gap. Now, I want to take, we've got about 10 minutes left. I want to encourage you to use a tool that we have here, and that is the DVD that we made probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer than that. And I don't know, I think we may have forgotten how good it is in just introducing the church. And so here's my challenge to you. There are about 25 of them outside at the welcome desk. I'd like to think as you leave tonight, there'll hardly be any left. Maybe we'll have to go try to find some more. We've got several more. But if it's possible, Buzz, just go ahead and get that DVD all geared up. And just to hand that to somebody and say, you know I go to church. Let me tell you something about the Palm Beach Lakes Church.
Who killed the giant?
David killed a giant. That's pretty good, all right. Here's a hard one. Who built the ark?
Noah!
How many doors in the ark?
One!
How many windows in the ark?
One!
What's the best book in the world?
Bible.
Let's do the steeple one more time. Okay, everybody ready? Got your fingers together? Now.
This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people.
Okay, Gabrielle. Do it.
Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people.
All right. David, you want to do it?
Here's
okay.
The church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the
people.
Okay. I'll do it now.
Okay.
Here's the church.
Here's the church.
This is the church.
Here's the steeple.
This is the steeple.
Open the doors and see all the people.
There you go. That is so very, very... In the Bible, we read about a left-handed judge.
Ehud!
Who killed a giant?
David
killed a giant. That's pretty good, all right. Here's a hard one. Who built the ark?
Noah!
How many doors in the ark?
One!
How many windows in the ark?
One!
What's the best book in the world?
Bible!
Let's do the steeple one more time. Okay, everybody ready? Got your fingers together? Now.
This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people.
Okay, Gabrielle. Do it.
Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people.
All right. David, you want to do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's the steeple. Open the
doors
and see all the people.
Okay.
I'll do it now.
Okay.
Here's the church.
Here's the church.
This is the church.
Here's the steeple.
This is the steeple.
Open the doors.
There is the
Thank you for being interested in spiritual matters and taking time to look at this video about the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. Many people are searching, trying to find God. They're looking in various ways, trying to find Jesus, trying to find His church, and knowing just how to live. May I suggest to you that the course of life each of us needs to take is to go back to the Bible, to call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways. just exactly like they did it in the first century. You know, if the Apostle Paul were to come into this area to establish a church, you know what he'd establish? The first century church in the 21st century. This is not some theoretical idea, not hypothetical. It's happening in this place every week. Hundreds of individuals come to this building to learn more about Jesus, to learn more about living in the 21st century by the very values that were there in the first century. It is possible to be a first century Christian in the 21st century. Let's take a few minutes and introduce to you the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. Being a first century Christian in the 21st century means that we worship God just like they did in the first century. When Jesus established the church, they had congregational singing where everyone sang and praised God together. The first century church also prayed together. In the 21st century, the church of Jesus needs to pray together.
Father, we pray that you would reach into their lives and work those circumstances in such a way that they might be restored to their health, or they might have the difficulties they are facing removed. But Father, we pray most of all for strength on their part, for encouragement, that they may overcome those things that are dealing with at this time.
We pray, Father, and we understand this morning that, God, if we have one sermon to preach, we'll be able to preach how man should obey you in all your ways. Bless us, keep us, forgive us for our sins in our lives, Father, until we meet at the next appointed time, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Dear mighty Father, we thank you for all these blessings you have bestowed on us, the food, the shelter, the clothing.
The church in New Testament times raised money by giving freely of that which God had given to them. And in the 21st century, Christians do exactly the same thing.
We ask that you may give us a heart of giving, a heart that seeks to do good every chance it gets, dear Father. May you continue to bless us that we may continue to be able to do good to all we come in contact with. These favors we ask for your son's name. Amen.
Preaching in the first century was characterized by a respect for Jesus and what he said. Preaching in the 21st century must recognize that same authority and honor his words.
I'd want to have as a part of that sermon an affirmation that Jesus is, that Jesus really, really lived on this earth. I'd want to hold up the fact that God sent His only begotten Son and that the Son of God put something on this earth called the church, called the kingdom. And it is a blessing that God had in mind for all mankind in every culture around the world. God had something in mind when He put this kingdom on this earth. And I can pillow my head at night with confident assurance that if I pass from life during that night, that it'll be the angels of God who will bear my spirit to that other world.
That's an amazing outreach too. And we're not using it like we should, are we? What'd you do over the weekend? Well, let me tell you, here's what we did. I go to church. Could I just give this to you and let you have a look at it? You know how non-threatening that is? But do you know what an opportunity that is to introduce in a non-threatening situation the whole concept of restoring the New Testament church? And I sat there amazed at the people that's in that video that are no longer here with us. But the power of the truth has not changed. And I just long to encourage you as we think about personal work. That's not the only tool to be used. But I don't see how any of us could not use that tool. You know, it's just every one of us has the ability of having that DVD to give to somebody else. Now, I would encourage you to do it with a personal invitation. In other words, if you just put that under somebody's windshield, that does, you know, first of all, there's an expense that is involved. But secondly, it's that personal contact. Once they've looked at that video, there's that follow-up question. Did you have a chance to look at it? What did you think about it? And if they say, I'm not interested, you know, then it's not a rejection of you. It's not a rejection of you if somebody says, I'm not interested. There's a great, far greater person being rejected than you. And so on your way out tonight, there's about 25 of them. If you feel like that I need to do more of this, then I'd encourage you to get that.